say that one of my favorite exclamations is Holy Moses. You've heard me say that probably on this show. Anybody who knows me, for instance, the people living at this house, they hear it all the time. Holy Moses! And we're going to talk about Moses today. Well, that's true. I have another saying. It's Smokin' Joe. I like to say that. Smokin' Joe. And sometimes I add Frazier. Joe Frazier. Remember Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier? Was that the Thrilla in Manila or was that George Foreman? Was that the Rumble in the Jungle? Which one was Ali fighting Joe Frazier? I'm going to take Joe Frazier to the mat. Now we're going to go to Moses. And we have a little more to say about Moses before we get to Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Not the ex-harlot, but the harlot. By faith, Moses, becoming great, disowns the term son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now we know we left off Moses in the basket, crying, being discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. He's raised in Egypt, which is quite the civilization back then, quite the enterprise, quite the operation Pharaoh had there in the middle of the Egyptian desert, and he became a prince in the land of Egypt. But he found out that he was a Hebrew. He was one of those people being abused by the Egyptians, and they were making very large structures out of rock, namely pyramids. And they were mistreated, and Moses saw, we know, one of his fellow Hebrews being mistreated, and he took vengeance against the Egyptians. He said, you know, I had enough of this. These are my people. And he was probably had some powwows with his parents, with Yaakovid and Amram and his sister Miriam, and he said he had a big decision to make. Many of us have this decision to make in life. Paul's friends had this decision to make. Demas had a choice to make at one time. Do I stay with Paul, who's a total embarrassment, who's in jail, and whose evangel is mocked throughout the world? Do I stay with him, or do I take this great business opportunity in Joppa or in Caesarea? Demas, it says in 2 Timothy, loved this current eon, and he pursued something besides Paul. I had this choice in my life. It was the postal service or what I do now. It was a guaranteed pay every 2 weeks, like clockwork. I was making $17 an hour. I was the Prince of Egypt. $17 an hour in 1993. Not bad for a kid with no college degree. Actually, college degree and $3.50 at Starbucks will get you a cafe mocha. So I had that choice. And many people who followed Jesus had that choice. They fell out of favor with the mainstream when they chose Jesus Christ. We come to a crossroads in our life, and it's an important decision. And you know when you've experienced this, when you try to bring the truth to a pastor, you tell them about the salvation of all, or about there being no free will, that salvation's of Christ. And you can see in them sometimes the spark of recognition, like, I know this is true, but I can't forsake my reputation, my income, my wife, my livelihood, everything. My kids, they depend on me having this job. And so the riches and the esteem of the world are often chosen instead of suffering evil with the evangel. But though, and this is Jesus told the Israelites this when he was on earth, whoever loses his soul for my sake will gain his soul in the kingdom. In other words, whoever forgoes the advantages and the worldly pleasures of this life. And this is what we're going to be getting into now as we go on in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Whoever sacrifices happiness now and embraces the better thing, that comes with great reward in the next life. And that's where the faith comes in, that there is recompense in the world to come. And you've heard me say, I've put my eggs in the next basket. My eggs are no longer in this basket. I don't even have any Easter grass in there. No egg-shaped malted milk ovals. I have no more jelly beans in my basket on Earth. I've deferred it all to the future, my reward. So I don't get upset anymore if I don't get rewarded here. And Moses here is a great example of this. Now that you've heard, and we're going to keep going here, but I think even though this is a letter to the circumcision from Paul, I think it's good to review these heroes of faith because, again, we find ourselves in the position of having to believe something we don't see and being tempted to quit, to do something acceptable. I often thought of making up a business card. So when everybody shows their cards, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm this, I'm that, and my card says, suffer evil with the evangel. That's what I do. What do you do for a living, Martin? Oh, I suffer evil with the evangel. And what did Moses do? He preferred to be maltreated with the people of God than to have a temporary enjoyment of sin. Sin just means missing. And he was missing the mark, sucking from the breast of Egyptian wealth. And that's what he was doing. He was just sucking it up in a very succulent situation he had. Slopping at the government trough, as they say. That's what Moses was doing. He became great when they plucked him out of the river. He disowned the term son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a tough thing. What a position of advantage. I disowned the term postal worker. A lot of people stood up and take notice. He's a postal worker. Wow. Now it's kind of like it's a nice job, but it's like sometimes you see these guys in their shorts and their pith helmets, their jungle hats and their jungle socks, and it's like, and they're walking around like, you know, I work for the Postal Service. That's good. You know, that's good. It's an institution. It's a tough job to carry the mail. You should be proud of it, but just maybe not that proud. So Moses made a choice. Oh, Martin says we have free will. No, I'm not saying that. Moses had a choice. It wasn't free. It feels free. Free will is the feeling that you're free. You sense that you're free, but you're not. You have to read the scripture that says God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. So every situation drives you to do what you do. God controls all the situations. We always react to the strongest situation. Therefore, we have no free will. It's that simple. So he said, I would rather suffer with my people. And I'm sure he was educated by his mother and father, by Yochaved and Amram. It's Amram. His friends called him Armin. I call him Amram. I'm not that familiar with him. I'm not an intimate. So they probably educated him, and he found out about the history, and he had a heart for God, started to lean toward God, started to think about God. And as soon as you do that, life becomes more difficult for you, because then you have to make a decision. Then you're held accountable. You're held accountable for the light that you have. No light, no accountability. Light, lots of accountability. And so once you hear this message, that's why many of us say, I can't turn back. What can I do now? Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? He said that to his disciples after the heat was on and people started leaving him. He looked over to them. You going to leave me too? And they said, we don't have anywhere else we're going to go. You have words of truth and life. Exactly. That's where you find yourself. But you're going to be really happy about that. Where can we go? What are you going to do? Quit this? You can't. It's okay to be tempted. It's okay to dream about it. I've dreamed many times about being a truck driver, over-the-road trucker, with my little sleeper in the back, just driving around like a turtle with my house back there right behind me, sleeping on the road, whatever, simple life. You're going to pay me for staying between those two sets of lines? I mean, that seems like the most amazing thing ever. Wait a minute. All I got to do is drive this thing, take this load of whatever over to that city 1,000 miles away and just keep this thing between the white lines, the yellow lines over here, the white line over there. And you're going to pay me $1,000? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. To me, that's a very simple, uncomplicated life. My life's complicated. The truth is complicated sometimes. Untangling the lie is complicated. Truth is simple. Untangling the lie is complicated. So whether you're, you know, teaching this stuff full time or whether you're struggling to know it or living a devout life. If you're living a devout life, a life reverent to God, a life faithful to these truths, you will be persecuted. Whoever is willing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a verse. I can't remember which one it is. Devoutly means revere. You revere God. Revering God does not mean holding to the truth of free will. It does not mean holding to the truth, the lie of free will. It does not mean holding to the lie of eternal torment. It means holding to the truth. And the truth is not popular today. So you will have to do what Moses did. You will have to make a decision. What do you prefer? What do you prefer? Do you prefer the temporary enjoyment of sin? And sin doesn't mean, you know, you are killing people or blowing all your money in Las Vegas. Sin means to miss the mark. You're just missing the mark, a temporary enjoyment of missing the mark. If you know that the mark is to believe the truth and do something about it, then anything that's not that mark is sin. If I kept working for the Postal Service when my conscience and my spirit and everything in me told me to leave that, then working for the Postal Service would be sin. Now, in any other circumstances, no. But if I'm going against my conscience, I remember this moment when I thought, oh my God, I'm going to do this, because it started to get on me. I started to think, my gosh, this is a worthy endeavor. God is calling me to do this. This is real. And then at that point, when I was convicted, at that point, the crossroads appeared out of the fog. When I first thought of it, there was a fog. Then as I got closer and I thought more about it, and I read 2 Timothy, the revelation came, that fog parted, and then the fork in the road appeared. And then, at that point, continuing to work for the Postal Service would have been sin, because I knew what I had to do, and I did it. And I preferred rather to be maltreated with this message and to rely on God for my income, to rely on you for my income, to walk in faith, rather than to have a temporary enjoyment of a guaranteed income, a reputation, people thinking well of me. You know, my wife was proud of me. My son works for the Postal Service. My parents thought I had arrived. It was a big deal, and it was horrifying for many people when I quit. And you have a similar situation that you're thinking about right now, some kind of crossroads. You go one way or the other. You will never regret taking the road less traveled. You will never forget traveling with Christ, no matter where he goes, whether it's up a mountain, over a river, across the stream, through the Jordan, into the desert. You will not regret that. Moses never regretted. There may have been a pang here and there, but overall, you look back, you are not going to regret choosing to be maltreated with God and God's people than to have a temporary enjoyment of sin. And you will be, verse 26 of Hebrews 11, deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than even the treasures of Egypt. Why did Moses feel this way? Because he looked away to the reward. Verse 26, he looked away from Egypt, from the big buildings, from the stately throne room, from the beautiful people. He looked away from that to the reward. And the problem again for us and for these Hebrews is that the reward is ahead and it's invisible. And we apprehend it by faith. Apprehending it by faith. That's what we're doing. And the more you think on this, the more you occupy your mind with this, then that prize, that reward, that celestial allotment becomes more real. It has for me. It really has. This is real. But it only comes by thinking about it constantly, by reading about it, by entertaining it. And then the things of the world do go strangely dim. This happens for all the people of God, and you're one of them.